It's Summerland Ham! Woohoo! Brought to you by Good Games Cannington.
No, in Cannington.
I think we all know what the great 20th century philosopher and poet Christina Aguilera meant when she said, "I'm a genie in a bottle, you gotta rub me the right way." That's right, she wanted to play Five Tribes. Are you searching for an oasis like a drunken Liam Gallagher in the 1990s? Have you no idea what a vizier is, but you're willing to try? Has Frank Herbert given you a dune addiction that can only be sated by controlling territories of sand? Well, we're your support group, listener. This is Seven Land Hand. Five Tribes! It's a board game for up to four people, designed by a French mathematical madman, Bruno Cathala. Bruno, often known for his work with Serge Léger or Ludovic Maublanc, has gone out on his own with this Days of Wonder release. Back before the US told everyone that the Middle East was a bad place, it was known as Persia. A romantic place full of beautiful golden cities, magical carpet rides and boundless satin pillows. That's where Five Tribes is set. Their elevator pitch reads, "Crossing into the land of 1001 nights, your caravan arrives at the fabled Sultanate of Nakala. The old sultan just died, and control of Nakala is up for grabs. The oracles foretold of strangers who would manoeuvre the five tribes to gain influence over the legendary city-state. Will you fulfil the prophecy? Invoke the old djinns and move the tribes into position at the right time, and the sultanate may become yours." One disclaimer before I proceed. Surprisingly, Bruno Cathala may not actually be a madman. But what does it all mean to gamers? Here today, to rub me the right way, I'm John Boyer, the maestro of meeples, Matt McHale.
I've lubed up my hands.
We're in for a good time. More Middle Earth than Middle East, it's Riley Evetts.
Hello. I didn't know about this rubbing you up the right way.
Well, it's in the small print. Okay. And Aladdin, the finest gaming form of his life, Justin Edwards.
Man, I'm always down. Let's get this done.
Feeling better for me explaining that joke to you. Yeah. Aladdin.
We had to say it slowly a few times.
Hopefully the worst joke will be made tonight.
Oh, my God. Far from.
You haven't seen the quiz yet.
We'll be looking back in awe.
How are we, gentlemen? What have we been up to this last month of gaming?
Oh, where do we start? All kinds of things. Thank you to Justin, because I've now become hooked on XCOM.
XCOM!
Enemy Within.
XCOM.
on my iOS device, my portable device. And I empathise with everything that he told us about that, how the soldiers become yours. You give them backstories, you give them medals, you send them on missions. When they die, you visit the memorial and listen to the last post playing in the background or whatever. And thank you very much for that.
20-minute trumpet solo whilst Riley Evetts explains why the flag at half-mast is flapping in a certain way. Beautiful stuff.
And I break out crying and think, oh, if only I hadn't have moved him too far forward. So there's that. And also Coup is out on iOS.
So, do you get the feeling that Matt's starting a rival iOS pod within the Seven Land Hand pod?
Just apps? Apps only? Yeah. There's your title, apps only.
So my rule with Coup is always call the first person that says they are the one that lets them take two money. You should always call them because they're always lying. Everyone says it the first time round.
Well, the problem I have with this version is, with the iOS version, is you can't see people's faces, of course. So you can't. You know, there's none of that bluffing.
You don't need to.
I like to be able to read people and know whether they're bullshitting me or not. But, yeah, it makes it a bit hard on the iOS version. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Still, good game.
Yeah. Nice. Mm. Riley?
Oh, well, we've been trying to play Dying Light, haven't we, David?
Oh, yes, we have. We haven't even got back to trying to... I get the sense that you have to help someone else with their storyline, right?
Yeah, that's what it is. But it joins you into the one that's further ahead. So I join in your storyline and my character's crap by comparison to the stuff you're dealing
with.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, because otherwise the more advanced character is going to blow everyone away.
Yeah.
I've discovered that I can literally crap myself. I'm not good with heights. Within Dying Light, they send you off to an antenna, which is the highest place in the game, and then there's an antenna on top of it, which you have to climb to the top, and there's business going on.
Yeah.
And the character doesn't... You know, in the older generation games, if you were standing atop of something, you'd just be rock solid. The cursor would be dead still in the middle of the screen. Well, this moves around. And if you look anywhere, sometimes he lets go with one hand and has a really good look with the wind really high up. Yeah. I'm sitting there in the safety of my lounge room going, dare I look down? I don't want to look down.
I hate heights, so anything
Yeah.
I shouldn't be playing Dying Light. It's a free-running building-climbing game.
Dying Light is one of the things I miss about console gaming, because I don't have a console anymore. The last one was a Wii. But
it's not out on Wii.
No, it's not. So, but that's what makes me, that game makes me wish I had a console again, because
it's out on PC too, isn't it?
I don't have a PC either. So
go get a console, yeah, and we can all join in and play. They're coming down. Get X-boned.
Yeah, X-boned. But not a PlayStation. We can bully Justin into getting one too.
Do you want to throw your gamer tag out there, Riley?
Not really.
No. He said his gamer tag to me. He was really embarrassed. He's like, I was 14 when
it was shocking. I've had it for forever.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Really? No.
What is it?
Devil Worshipper 7420 Blaze.
Something you regret.
You had to be there.
Well, we weren't, so tell us.
I was 14 and I really liked Blaze.
So this means, Justin, that you and I are both going to have to get X-Bone.
Yeah.
Just so we can get on there and find out what this
I've got one. Is. I haven't turned it on for about 5 months.
Oh, come on, man.
This is constantly wanting updates. It's like, hey, man, you got any of that internet, man.
But it's not like it takes physical effort to update it. Yeah. It just goes, I want to be updated. And you go, okay.
You turn it on for an hour and go do something else.
In my house, it totally does, because we've got 500 kilobit. Second internet. Like, we can't get anything better at the moment.
Right. He's talking numbers.
Really slow internet.
Oh, okay.
And it's just absolute crap. So the Xbox is like, hey, man, need another hit, bro. It's like 17 gig of something.
I was going to say it's got Netflix now, but obviously it doesn't make a difference.
It doesn't.
Oh, yeah, Netflix so good now.
But yeah, I went down south this weekend. I headed down to Mount Barker. A friend of mine's got some property there. So I went a bit Dark Ages, and we played card games. So I took down
an actual 52 card card game.
It was crazy. Awesome. So
they still make those.
Yeah, it was nuts, right?
So just look on Kickstarter.
Kickstarter. Jacks and queens and kings, fucking rocking everything, man.
View backers for $79 bucks. We'll give you like two jokers as well.
I've taken 52 cards out. There's still two left. They're the jokers, Justin. Leave them alone. Okay.
We'll throw in the clubs.
Oh, it's a Batman. It's a Batman special.
Much. Friends of mine went to Nepal and came back with this amazing game called Shithead.
Oh, man.
I've never played that before.
Man.
You don't have to go to Nepal to get that.
Yeah. You never know, man. They probably need it at the moment. Shouts out, by the way.
I'm surprised, man. No.
Yeah, but that was amazing because there's a luck element in it.
Shithead's awesome.
Oh, it's crazy. Played a bit of that. I took down Star Realms. I find that game much better on the phone.
Star Realms is better on the phone?
I think so.
On the phone?
On the...
Oh, right, yeah.
Yes, because
you're talking to someone on the phone, go, right, I've just taken this out of the trading room.
Honestly, I've just drawn these cards.
Yeah. Yes. But I found that we were sitting in the back seat on the way down and passing this phone to each other, and it does all your pool tallies and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So I found that a lot more fun to play, and obviously you can't whip the deck out on the back seat of your car. But
welcome to the app side of the
game. Yeah, no. It seemed pretty good. It's just you and me, David. Yeah. So
next month, Riley and David explore the joys of physical board games.
Also, cracked out the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Like some stress, and like just looking at your mate like, why do you want to cure that joint, man? You should move like two and then use your turn like this. Really hard not to be like... Just do what I say.
Game
right?
boss.
Like,
yeah.
Finally beat that game after you beat it. Like eight goes.
That's an achievement, dude. Yeah. That's
a game's
amazing.
Hard.
I'm sure I'm not cheating, and I can beat it regularly.
Well, you must be because
you must be cheating, or you're just such a good strategist.
What level are you playing? How many affection cards are you putting in?
Hard.
Four. Four, five.
No, we're putting five in. I think five's
mid range.
Like
yeah.
Four or five. A number.
Yeah. Oh, I can understand. Five's a good challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. What have we done? Have we gas bagged on?
We're not talking about any of that stuff.
Five tribes.
Yeah, we're talking about five tribes.
All right, the
game. I've been playing that too. All right, you guys.
We have. Well, let's blob and come back and talk about five tribes for a lot longer.
All right.
We're back. It's five tribes.
Five tribes.
It's a board game. Madman, Bruno, French, all that sort of stuff.
May not be mad.
He must be mad.
Disclaimer.
Yeah.
Well, it's called Five Tribes. It's only for up to four players.
Yeah, I'm still annoyed.
Yeah, maybe we'll get into that in What Do We Think.
We'll
go through the emotional rollercoaster that was the approach, play, and how we felt about it at the end.
Yeah.
So, Riley, what is the objective of Five Tribes?
Well, the objective of the game is to finish the game with more money than anyone else.
Well, see, you're already wrong, isn't it? Because it's
like
not
victory
more
points.
Victory points.
It's
isn't
victory
it?
Point, but I mean, money is the same. The money is worth victory points equal to the value of the money.
But the money is victory points.
Money is
better,
victory
so,
points.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's.
I agree.
Yeah.
Money is power. You heard it here.
So the point of the game is to move little meeples around the board in such a way as to claim territory or pick up guys.
A whole bunch of different mechanics in order to get your victory points
to
going.
To gain victory points for you.
There's a little tally thing at the end on it.
Yeah, there's a whole
pad
book of score sheets.
Which we thought was going to be useless, but is
which are useless, but it's not explained in them.
But it's necessary.
Yeah, it's necessary. You do need it.
All right, so Matt, what's the narrative of this game?
Well, the narrative is, go back to your Arabian Nights theme. The Persia, as you said in the intro, the old Sultan has passed away, and as what happens usually is a power struggle ensues, and all of the various guilds and sects get together to create a power vacuum. Who's going to rule? Who's going to become the new Sultan? So the theme of the game is that 1001 Arabian Nights. The narrative has players vying for control. They're competing against each other to take control and become the next Sultan. So, and that's pretty much it.
And it has not only just controlling elements to it, it does incorporate the genie stuff.
So they feature a part in there, and they're just a method, a way of gaining control. So, like everything in this game is some thematic element. The meeples represent the guilds.
Yeah.
So there are various different guilds. You've got your viziers, your merchants, elders, assassins, builders.
And that's where the five tribes comes in.
Because
initially we thought, great, we'll get someone else in, we'll play this five-player, five tribes game, brilliant. And then it's for four players, that was strike one.
That was
the first
hurdle. Yeah,
that got us upset. We were smashing things at that point.
When you think about it, though, if you've got tribes that are only made up of builders and assassins and elders and merchants and viziers, I don't see where the longevity in those guilds, in those tribes, is going to be. You know, if the builders, all they do is build. That's all they can do.
They've got to work together.
The assassins just assassinate.
Yeah, so that's the overall message, isn't it? Let's join hands across Arabia and love one another.
Let's all work together.
And build a bright tomorrow.
Harmony.
Yeah.
While you're assassinating people.
And put the Sultan on the seat of
power. Do we know what Makala is? Is that just a fictitious place that they've invented?
Yes.
It is.
It's
just a made-up...
I don't know whether it's made-up. Maybe it's drawn from the Arabian Nights...
No, because I think when they... In their spiel, they just say, 1001... What is it? Crossing the land of 1001 Nights.
Right. So it's alluding to Arabia.
They don't say 1001 Arabian Nights, because whoever owns that would smash them.
That's true. I don't know if anyone really does own that, do they?
Probably. Someone will. If someone owns everything.
Happy birthday is the song is owned, isn't it?
That's true.
Wow. For more fascinating facts, come back right after this. So Justin, what's in the box? What are we getting?
So this is actually as we've already discussed, you're basically playing the animated intro to Disney's Aladdin.
Yeah.
And so you've got in the box is a bunch of wood, a bunch of cardboard, and some paper. Apparently... Arabian tribes look like gingerbread men, and they're made out of wood. And they're in the black bag, which is cool. I'm really glad.
Tiny. You'd be upset if you went to the baker and said, give me a gingerbread man, and they gave you one that size.
Yeah, they're super tiny, but gingerbread man shape, multiple colours.
Gingerbread tic-tac.
I really appreciate the fact that they actually put it in a cloth bag. You get some dice games now and all that sort of stuff that are coming in paper.
It's a good dice bag.
Yeah,
or meeples bag.
Mm. Yeah, good quality art cards. You've got landscaping... plaques, I guess you'd call them.
Yeah.
And that's...
Now that's cool. That's cool. The,
I really dig those.
The layout of Makala. How does that work?
So that's more of a game mechanic, but one of the brilliant things about this is that the game is totally random. So you've got more land cards than you'll ever need to play just one game, but you've got to be constantly drawing... Rivers, Lands and Castles game?
Carcassonne.
So, yeah, very similar to that sort of layout. You've just got this huge sprawling city which you want to take.
6x5.
6x5.
Yes. You already start off with the city built.
Start the game. You lay out a map, a grid of these tiles, 6x5 tiles, and you lay it all out. The instructions say face up, but the tiles are double sided. So
yeah, we didn't get to the bottom of that.
Is face up,
and we don't believe we cheated, but we don't think there's an actual.
We may have. We don't know.
We don't know which way.
It's impossible to tell. Yeah.
And that all breeds into the random other things in the box. Is the djinn cards? There's some cool looking genies and demons and all sorts of fun stuff. Which is like a random draw deck that we got.
And you've got a cheat sheet in front of you, which tells you what all those djinns do.
Which is good, because you forget.
Similar to your...
Small World.
Small Worlds and your Agricolas and
It's got to be the same artist, isn't it? It just looks... It looks very similar to that sort of stuff.
Another trait of the Days of Wonder games in general is it's very icon-driven, so there's not a lot of text.
Yeah.
In fact, there's no text on the cards. In fact, I'm pretty sure there is no text on the cards.
There's no text on anything.
Yeah, so it is very icon driven, which means you do need to keep referring back to the player's resource, just so you know.
Initially, and then the icons do remind you of what each card does. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Well, other things in the box, you've got a stack of trade items, which is a little bit weird because...
What's that called, the market or something?
Yeah, the market. Yeah. So the market is where you buy your victory points, essentially. The more combos of market items you have, the higher victory points you can obtain. You got things like slaves, vases, vases...
Viziers.
Silks, gems, fish, bread, loaves, the whole...
What is it, 9 different types?
Spices.
Plus slaves.
Yeah. Wheats. Breads, papers, all that sort of fun stuff. Again, just sort of... That's a deck that sort of gets cycled out as well.
Yeah.
I guess we'll talk about more on
how to play. Yeah.
And a really cool bit that they've chucked in there, and it's not a square. It's the bidding token. I guess you call it the bidding plaque.
The bidding track, yeah.
Yeah, so this game isn't played around a table. It's you bid for first, second, third, turn. So you've got this...
Which on first game, first turn, you wonder why are we bidding to go first? Do I want to go first? Yeah. But you do get over that.
Yeah. But they've got some good little bits and pieces to sort of really theme it up. It's a very thematic box. You've got your weird, like this is like a point of contention amongst the group.
Careful, Justin.
Yeah, this is like a minefield. Eh?
It is.
So the turn markers or the things that dictate where the
there's
the,
one I'm kidding, I'm yeah, keeping,
it's,
I'm
keeping it was so hard
yeah, one
please be careful listener it was so hard not to have knob it's, jokes in yeah. this one because there's so much
yeah so basically the turn markers look like dongs
yeah pretty
straight
much
up.
Let's just get that out of the way
straight out there yeah. And that's not because we're all immature legit
it's also
silly
because
people.
We're all immature
just,
at least I call them puppy pizzles
right
yeah
so To your general white thug like ourselves, that's what they look like. To people from a Middle Eastern origin, they probably look like beautiful temples badly painted, orange, pink, blue, black.
And I think I'm not 100% sure, but I think I've actually just found Jesus on one of them.
Really?
Tell me I'm wrong.
Is that Jesus with a D at the start?
Maybe.
To Jesus.
Yeah. Matt's gone Pareidolia in the wood grain.
I think that probably is.
Elvis?
I'm not kidding.
No, it looks a lot like Jesus.
Wow, This set could be worth... I don't see that.
It's like he's crudely drawn.
It looks like the back of a spider.
This vocal-only podcast is looking amazing.
Yeah.
We've just found Jesus on an orange.
We're not easily distracted.
Other things in the box, you got a bag of camels, which... We'll come,
bag of camels.
We'll make sense a bit later.
Yeah.
You got some dosh, you got some cash tokens, you got a bag of golden palm trees and palaces, which are sort of victory point tokens, and they're pretty cool. Nothing in this box looks bad. There's a lot of components. There's a buttload of these wooden guys. It's pretty all loose. The
golden tent things actually look valuable. When you place them down, you go, I got the opinion that they were worth 10 victory points when they were only worth
just
5.
Just because they were
just
gold.
Just because they're so shiny and gold.
Pretty much.
Who left the phone on?
Oh,
all right.
But, the box is good. They've given you enough storage. The bags, you might want to upgrade from the bags if you've got to run this thing out. But yeah, very well presented looking thing.
Days of Wonder do an amazing job with their stuff, all of it. I haven't come across a Days of Wonder game yet that I don't like from an aesthetic point of view.
And I think it's still sub Fantasy Flight, but it's still of a quality.
You have to spend cartoony.
Well, when you say sub Fantasy Flight, haven't both companies been acquired now by Asmodee?
No. Don't say Hasbro.
No, Asmodee.
Oh, Hasbro. Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, a lot of Bruno Cathala has done a lot of publications through Asmodee. I was looking at his other games, and most of them were with that publisher.
So there you go.
I thought you were going to say Disney at first.
No. Although that does appear on all the Star Wars stuff now.
What? Yeah. Five Disney. Tribes? Yeah, when you break into the episode 7, you know, like Han Solo and Chewbacca are going to be playing a game of Five Tribes in Small World instead of that other 3D hologram chess game.
I wonder how they pull off cross-promotion, you know, or product placement.
Mickey Mouse in one of the airlocks or something. Just
the shape of the airlock.
That'd be good.
That would be great. In fact, I can't. We should suggest that before it's too late.
All right. Nick, how to play. Yeah, this is an important part of playing a board game, is knowing actually how to play.
Riley, tell us.
All right. So, firstly, you read the instructions.
Well.
In depth. And then you try and figure out what they mean. It's quite difficult, but we managed eventually.
This game does make a big deal about, because it's a Days of Wonder game, this is such an easy game just to walk into. And considering we had four of us that are reasonably knowledgeable
in
playing
a lot of games.
We did feel quite tripped up by a game that eventually became quite easy to play.
Well, despite it being more of a gamer's game.
That had to come out sooner or later, didn't it?
Anyway, that's a point
that's
for
later. That's a phrase on the box. Yeah, we'll get back to that.
So you start by setting out your 6x5 grid of tiles at random. And then once you've done that, you put all your meeples in your bag and draw three out at a time at random and put three on each tile. Give everyone 50.
50 money?
50 gold money. Made up of... So you've got two values of money. You've got fives and ones. And with that, you make up all the money in the game.
And you're supposed to keep it hidden, which is a bit of a... like a Ankh-Morpork kind of deal, isn't it?
Yeah, so you're supposed to keep it all under wraps so that your opponents don't know how much money you've got and how many points you have. It's all about concealing like your score.
Because there's various different ways to have victory points. So you can...
It could
influence how you bid initially. Or later on in the game, if you're looking over at someone, you can add up pretty much what they've got. And you might not bid as much just because you're fearful of winning.
Yeah, because they can't afford it. So once you've given everyone their money and laid all the meeples out, you are ready to start bidding for who goes first.
Not to mention you made a right mess of your table.
Oh, yeah.
It's just covered.
Well, you've got the market as well. Don't forget, you've got to put the market out.
I guess. You
and gins. Only three genies come out at one time. And with the market, it's a disappearing market. So
how many cards go out in the market? So you're looking
nine
cards all at once.
Yeah. So the market cards and gin cards are face down. You flip over three gin cards and lay them out, and nine market cards and lay those out. And then you're ready to start bidding for who goes first.
Well, first of all, you need to line up all your camels.
Matt's about to leave.
And you're tense. And then if you've played the game a few times, it becomes a moment where you stop and you look at what the layout of the board is, if there's some strong moves that you can make early on. And then that influences how you're going to... The bid, which is the first thing that you do to kick off.
Yeah, so... Strong moves that you're looking for early on, so specific tiles let you do specific things. You can't always access the market. You can't always buy a gin. You have to end your turn on a tile that lets you do those things.
Yeah, what have we got? We got small markets.
Small markets, big markets.
Big markets.
Villages, oases.
Yeah. And is it the shrines?
Yeah, shrines.
What was the name of the one? There's the one where you can buy a gin, from.
Yeah, that's what that was.
Well,
that's like
the shrine.
It's a shrine. Sacred place.
I thought it was called sacred place.
That's right. But yeah, no words on the tiles, so you just sort of got this.
But it's easy thing. After you've played it once or twice.
You've got to play a card you can reference.
Yeah.
make it up.
So how do you get control of the
specific place? So you've thought out who's going first, and you've moved your turn markers to wherever they need to be. And on your turn, you pick any tile on the board, pick up all of the meeples on it.
If they're all the same colour.
No.
This is at the start of your turn.
What are you doing?
We're doing the start of your turn.
Start of your turn.
So you pick up all the meeples on a tile.
Oh, yes.
And then you put them down on adjacent tiles, but you can't double back on yourself.
Yeah.
And then the last meeple that goes down has to go down on a tile...
With a matching coloured meeple. Yeah, we made it super hard for ourselves by trying to get every single tile that you do.
Yeah, we misread the rules the first time we played.
Yeah.
So we try to match all the meeples, but it's just the last meeple you put down has to be the same colour as one on the tile. Then you pick up all the meeples on that tile of the colour that you just put down. And if that removes all of the meeples from a tile, you then control that tile and you can plonk a camel on it.
Yeah. That is the correct term for placing a camel, isn't it?
Plonk, yeah.
Yeah, we all rode our camels down at Good Games tonight, and we've plonked them outside.
Yeah. And that's how you claim a tile. And then those meeples, depending on what colour they are, do other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which you got your reference card to find.
Yeah, which your reference
card And you cash them in, or you can do things with it in your turn then, right?
Yeah, so most of the meeples do something straight away.
Yeah.
Like
the green ones?
The green ones are the tradey ones, and they let you grab resources from the market.
Yeah. The red ones...
The red ones let you assassinate meeples.
You'd hate to use those, wouldn't you, Riley?
I'm just not that kind of guy.
That's just killing a single meeple?
Just one.
Yeah.
Yeah. The blue meeples just score you points, depending on the tiles that are around them.
That's right.
If
the tiles have a blue logo on you, and you just count up the tiles, not the number that's on the tile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And then there's two more colours, the yellow and the white ones. Yeah.
Are just worth two victory points. So they sit in front of you and do nothing, though you can trade them in for djinns at some point in the game if you land on a sacred place.
Yeah, it's like two white guys buy you one, or a white guy and a slave will buy you a djinn. I know, it's full of racist
minefields.
And the yellow ones,
and
the yellow ones are
your favourite, David. They're the viziers. They're worth points at the end of the game, and you get 10 additional points for each player you have more viziers than at the end of the game.
Yeah. And I managed to crack, just to explain what the djinn cards do, I managed to get one of the djinns come up, which gave me a multiplier, which made each yellow guy worth three points instead of one. So, that's like an action of what they can do.
All the games we played, in fact, you got that djinn.
Yeah,
you did very well.
Yeah. Yeah, it sort of kept me in it.
It did.
They've all got varied effects, which is good. There's no real double ups. Some of them have similar effects, but they affect different meeples, different tribes.
Yeah.
So you're going to accrue victory points for getting money. You're going to accrue victory points for buying things from the market and trading them in.
Oh yeah. So the market cards you get, there are, as Justin was saying, there are lots of different ones. And the more varied your market, your own personal store of stuff is, the more money you can trade them in for.
Yeah.
So you don't get anything for having multiples of things, but for having a variety of stuff, you get more and more money for each like variety you have.
Up to nine.
Nine, I think, is the most.
Yeah. So there's nine different cards, and the cards do have an indication of how many of these cards.
Yeah,
so when you see them come out
are,
in the how rare they are. The rarity is on the bottom of the card. How else can you get your victory points?
By owning trees and having villages.
Palm trees.
Yeah. Palm trees and shiny temples. So there's a marker on some of the city tiles that will indicate that you may put a palace or a palm tree on these tiles.
Yeah, well, the oasis have palm trees.
That's correct.
And the city ones or the villages have the shiny...
Villages
have the golden... Yeah.
Palaces.
Palaces.
Yeah. So, yeah, your trees are worth 3 and your village is worth 5. So... Yeah.
And you can only play... You place one of those if you end your turn.
Yeah, whenever someone ends their turn on one of those tiles. Yeah. So even if someone else controls it. And you can't take control of someone else's tile. But if you finish your turn there, you've then given them a palace or a palm tree.
Yeah. So, and I was going to say, we were scoring, you know, as beginner players, we're scoring about 140, 130 points, so
something like that.
You know, three to five points for a tent. You know, it
all adds up.
Adds up. Know. Yeah.
I'm kind of feeling sorry for the listener because we're sort of there's so much stuff.
I always feel sorry for the listener.
It's so visual, though. There's so much to see. And it's hard to describe it all.
So just sort of to paint a picture, you've got a board of loose cards with indicators of what that land mass is.
Yeah.
Covered in coloured people, which have a certain function.
Careful.
In society.
Yeah. And it is up to each player to find a run that will allow them to collect a tile and finish on a tile in order to gain...
Take control of it or to gain the right amount of meeples to do whatever.
To gain meeples to
allow them access to certain parts of the game, like the gin trade row or the market.
So, yeah. And like then, you might just be interested in just grabbing a whole bunch of...
There might be a really good
market,
gin.
Yeah, so or the market might look good, so you're aiming to pick them up.
Or
territory is another way. Oh, we haven't talked about the camel. So plonking your camel on a tile, you then you score the number of points on that tile. So at the end, it becomes quite a multiplier. So if you've been really expansionist and gone out and plonked your camels... Actually, you have got a limit to the number of camels you can plonk.
Mm. Yeah. I think Riley once came close to getting
one
more to go, which was a pretty good effort.
So once you've plonked all your camels, you can... add up the value of the tiles, and then that will give you your final scoring victory points for
now. Each
territory.
Tile has a number in the corner as well, doesn't it? So that
each tile,
how does that weigh in?
The tile. So there are two different types: there's the blue and the red. Now the blue affect meeple tiles, builder meeples specifically, because that acts as a multiplier for the number of tiles surrounding the build action. The build action that you take with the blue meeples. The red ones are just your common areas.
Maybe an expansion adds something.
We haven't had anything. There might be a djinn or something else that has an effect on them, but we haven't found it yet.
No.
And that the amount of territory you own added up at the end gives you an unknown quantity of bonus points. So it's one of those things that's very specific to Euro-style board games where it's end-of-game scoring,
the end of
which
the game,
can change
the
position of the players.
Yeah, you can really... I suppose more experience you get, obviously, idea. But we've finished a few games where we're thinking, I'm way out of this. and it was a surprise who won.
Yeah.
It's because of that.
Well, the great thing I think we found is that there was no one way to win.
No, there are lots of different ways.
I won by having the most money.
Because he was the banker.
Because I was the banker.
I cheated a few times.
Yeah. Once. But then I corrected it. I won by having money. Riley, you won by...
I can't remember what I won by.
Something that pushed you... What pushed you over the line?
I think it was having... So having viziers helped, but it was... where's the score?
Yeah, they're missing. I was just looking for the old school cards, but they're not in there.
That's because we've left it in the store for a week and people have used it.
Well,
I know that for one...
I think it was territories.
One time you went around assassinating everyone with the red.
Yeah,
that was the theme of play, and a whole bunch of camels went down. I think that might have been the game.
Yeah, I had a gin for it, so I thought I'd take advantage of the red... The assassins.
Yeah, and that gin became really handy because every time anyone passed through your square, they had to do something, didn't they?
Well, that was a different one. But whenever I assassinated a meeple, I got that meeple's effect as well, which was very cool.
Yeah. So there's lots of convoluted ways to approach the game.
Yeah, I won't say complicated, but there's a lot of paths to victory.
I wouldn't say it's complicated at all. I'd say it's quite a straightforward game in the end. It's just a matter of just getting the first few games under your belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, and despite Days of Thunder's claims, they don't spell it out for you too easily, I don't think.
No.
At the beginning of the game, when all the meeples are randomly placed, it looks like someone's vomited a rainbow onto the table. But you start to look for the colour patterns because you're doing a mental calculation. Okay, there are X number of blue ones together, and I know I can walk them to another group of two or three blue ones, which will increase the
And it
total.
Does lead to a bit of an ooh wow factor from everyone else if you pull off a good move. And a good move can be.
But it's very difficult to plan because someone else might drop something. They might not even finish or do the move you're trying to do. But their move will mess up what you were going to do.
Yeah. So
you
have hence the bidding at the beginning.
Hence the turn bidding. Yeah.
And that thing at the beginning where you're bidding, which seemed kind of just like a fun little why we're doing this, becomes, this is why this is important.
Yeah. It's extremely important. Yeah. You can tell the game's really tried to place itself as something that is competitive. Like, so you can play Agricola and you can just build a farm and make up a funny story about, you know, your farmer's wife and all that sort of crap. And, like, you know, have a really fun game with it. And then you'll play with someone who's like, man, you can't
who's really
throw that,
into it.
You can't take this, and do that. And Fire Tribes is exactly the same. Yeah. But it appeals to both audiences extremely well. You can play it, you know, you can just ignore the djinns. There's 20 of them, and they've got some crazy stuff to do. But there's so much to take in this game, and you can win in so many other different ways. Yeah, you can play a whole game without buying one.
There are a lot of different paths through the game, which is quite nice.
Yeah. I suspect
when a player has placed all their camels, or there are no more legal moves, so you can't pick up or put down any more meeples anywhere.
Yeah.
And then once the game is finished, you tally your score up. Well,
The strategy goes quite deep as well, because you get the even just the placement of your meeples. You scoop your first handful of meeples for your go. You go in three squares where I finish my move. I want this effect. So you're going to drop two meeples on the way there, or if there's more meeples, then more. Now, beginners, first game you play, you just go whatever. Right, scoop. That's what I want. I think as you go and everybody gets more experience with it, you start thinking, all right, I don't want to drop this coloured meeple on my first square because then I'm setting up a move for somebody else. Mm. You know, if I suddenly make a clump of green, then I know that Justin's going to be wanting to play for that sort of card, and he'll be able to make a move and grab three guys all at once. I don't want to set up for that, so maybe I'll just throw something else that keeps a generic kind of mix.
Yeah, so you've kind of almost got to have three or four moves in your head all the time.
Yeah.
And then you do what you think is the best one and use that move to mess up as many of the other moves you've thought of as possible. Mm.
Yeah, so there is that element to it. You can mess up stuff. Mm.
And the other level of strategy, and I think we've overlooked it a lot even, is the turn order. We have said that, you know, that's why it becomes so in-depth, but you could purposely lose the turn order and go last so you can buy into the next turn. So you set yourself up with, you know, a pretty shoddy run because you went last and there wasn't much left. But you've set up yourself so you can bid high, get first, and then carve. Mm. You know, like get yourself sorted out, either with assassins or
You can bid high just to make other people bid high.
The turn order and bid order reverses each time. So the person who wins the first bid and goes first then bids last the next time.
Yeah,
To keep everything kind of even.
Yeah, that's good. It doesn't rely on your current position in the game to determine your order. You know, there are some games where it has. Takedo is a good example where the person in last place goes first all the time. So you can theoretically in Takedo be last all the time and keep having turns. So essentially, you get the first action every turn if you know play last.
For who goes first, it's not a like, I'll pay three, and then someone else chips in with four. There are specific numbers that you have to bid that take up space on the track.
Yeah.
And then once you have bid that number, no one else can bid it. Hmm. So there's only 1-5 on the track. So one person bids 5 money, or 5 victory points.
And there's three spots for zero.
So you don't have to bid anything.
Yeah, and that works into that strategy again. So I'm going to go zero, go last, so I can get first next time and capitalize. Really cool.
Yeah,
expansions, Matt. What's on expansions, the horizon?
Right. There is one. It's not out yet, but it is coming. It is, again, it's called Five Tribes. But the confusing thing is what it does.
You just buy one and just go, I hope it's the expansion.
The new expansion coming out is called... I've just lost the page.
It's called Five Tribes
Artisans of Nakala.
I've always had problems with this word. Like Jamie Oliver talking about bread and stuff, and it's like, is it artesian? Because that's what it sells to me. Or is it artisan? Or is it...
Oh, it's artisan.
Yeah. It's artisan. There you go. Jamie Oliver would be damned.
Is something else.
Which, this is the great thing about it, is it introduces another tribe.
Six tribes.
Yet the game's still called Five Tribes. And I like that because they've stayed true to the convictions. You know, we're giving you an expansion of another tribe, but meaning there are six tribes, but we're only calling it five tribes.
Is the sixth tribe just a little bit shit, which is why it's still called five tribes?
Can I just make fart noises? Because that's horrible.
It's so bad, isn't it?
Five tribes, six tribes, four players.
I'll read the description. Yeah. Well, parts of it. I'll paraphrase. The first expansion introduces a new tribe to the game, the Artisans, who... you know, help in the quest to claim the Sultanate. They're represented by purple meeples and they allow players to craft goods or magic items. And some of the items being worth victory points and others unlock special powers for their owner. So to make use of the artisans, you need to visit tiles included in the expansion. So you'll get more tiles. They're called workshops and specialised markets. So it sounds to me like they're introducing a new tile type. And then also the specialised market tile, so which is good. There's also new terrain, additional terrain, an impassable chasm, which sounds awesome.
That sounds like something that should just be in the base game, really. Yeah, probably.
Why not have six tribes in the base game? But
no, I mean the impassable tiles.
That's a bit how I felt when you had the game set up, so that if we went through one of your tiles, we had to pay you something or something like that, or you got like some money from the bank.
Yeah,
it really made the moves quite difficult.
Yeah, because you don't want to move through my squares.
Yeah, so the chasm bit could be interesting as well, because it makes you have to go around.
Bottleneck someone, they can't.
There's also two new djinns. Looking at the components, there's...
Shall we say now? Gin and tonic?
Gin and tonic. There are two. I'm about to sigh. There are tents. There are item markers. There are mountains. There are two new and two revised gins. Another scoring pad. A new scoring pad, I guess, the old one would be redundant if there's a new currency and stuff. Summary sheets again, so they're having to replace
parts of
the game to accommodate the new expansion, which, when you think about it, is...
It's not really what you do with an expansion.
That sounds like a nightmare to me, to be honest.
Yeah, well, so now I've got this. I've bought my five tribes, the Djinns of Nakala, and now there are parts I'm just never going to use again because they've been replaced.
Yeah. And there's already so much in this box.
Yeah. Like it's already full. There's no spare room in this box.
Yeah.
But I'd be interested, like, especially with stuff like the Impassable Chasm and all that sort of stuff. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, it sounds like something
worth checking out.
Yeah.
There are also a couple of... I don't know, this wasn't a Kickstarter, but there are also some promo released cards.
Alternate artwork.
Yeah,
sort of stuff.
I think they were just created just as promotional material. And yeah, they're available through Board Game Geek, I think. But you can't get them anywhere else, not that I'm aware of. So that's it for expansions. I mean, I'm not quite sure. It's telling me that it's going to be published this year. So probably in the second quarter, I would say.
2015, yeah.
So
shall we blob and then get back and just give a rundown on what we think then, yeah?
Yeah, right on. Let's do that.
All right, so what do we think? Maybe we should start off with what did we think? Because we picked up the box. I can admit, I pick up the box... I'm looking at the Arabian Nights theme I've never been interested in Aladdin, in any of flying carpet kind of stuff from when I was a kid. I just don't go for it, you know. So I thought, theme, I'm not bothered.
Well, you always pictured yourself more of a Jasmine character, didn't you? So
yes, that's me. I like the flowing blue silks rather than. And you can't drive ride a magic carpet if you know the wind's going to blow your dress
had the wrong
over
shoes
your head.
On, didn't
you know,
she?
It's a bit too revealing. So yeah, we before we all played, we gave it a score, didn't we?
We did. Yeah.
I'm going to say I went middle of the road 5, but that's the standard score I give to everything.
Matt was when super I mature and behaved like an adult and said, well, I don't know anything about it, so I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10.
I have no feeling. Why are we talking like this? Yeah. I have no feelings for it one way or the other.
Yeah, so it's obviously a 5. Yeah. So we all ignored him. And what did you give him, Riley? Not Matt. I gave Matt a 1.
I was willing to go in and be completely neutral about this game and give a similar rating to Matt. And then I read the back of the box where it calls itself more of a gamer's game than something else.
And you smashed that box, didn't you?
I hated it. I hated it so much. It was so far up itself that I dropped and gave it a 2.
I think you gave it a 2 because I gave it a 2 as well.
Yeah.
Because of all of the... Yeah, I just wasn't excited. And I couldn't see myself getting into a Meeples game. Yeah. And where were you, Justin?
This is some, like, super harsh home truths we had. Ultra judgmental we are in.
This is the definition
of judgment book cover.
This is where we started, you know.
Yeah,
so
this is where we came into it.
Some people are going to listen to this and pick up the box and go, I think exactly the same as that. Yeah. And then, you know, maybe they'll hear what we thought about it later.
Let's go back to what it said on the box. A bit more of a gamer's game than Days of Wonder's standard fare. So they're talking about what they produce.
I don't know.
It's not referential. However, difficult to say.
Well, Small World is a Days of Wonders game, and you know I can see.
You know what? Hang on. What did you give it before?
Yeah, so
Justin?
I picked this thing
more
up,
a gamer's game, and gave it a.
I gave it a 2 because I gave it a 2. I'm in Dave's camp. Not keen on sand, gets everywhere.
You're in the wrong part of the world.
Just like if you flip the box over and you look at the game on the table, that's the picture that they've put up. It's just something you don't want to look at. You're like, damn, son, this is like too much stuff.
That's right. Justin described it as we're just tidying up the first time we played through it. All you're doing is you've made a mess. and the game is just tidying up the mess.
It described itself as a twist on the game is that the meeples are already out. So instead of you going around placing them, one of the twists on
it. It is a worker placement game, but it's a Mancala mechanic. Which is where you're picking up the pawns and you're moving them around the board and dropping them off.
I thought it was a Nakala game.
Yeah, not
a
Mancala, which is a particular mechanic.
That's cool.
Okay. Which is specifically picking up all the tile, all the meeples in one spot and dropping one off on throughout your path.
I'm surprised and disappointed there's a name for that.
Yeah.
It's a very old mechanic. I know there's a lot of African games that Mancala... I think Mancala might have even originated in Africa. I'm not 100% sure, but...
It's been
around for a while.
Matt's doing the knowledge here. This is blowing me away.
So I like the Mancala mechanic, and I think more games really should explore it.
We had 3 people that gave it 2s.
Yeah.
None of us were very keen to it going in.
Exactly. So we sound negative, but we're not.
And you know what? And we opened the box and we started reading the instructions and we were negative on
it.
And
we spent 10 minutes punching out all the pieces from the cardboard.
Yeah, that's it.
We were very negative as we started reading the instructions and we're slagging it off for everything that we didn't find immediately logical or what we'd expect. But then what happened, fellas?
We played the game. We played it.
Yeah. And what happened then?
I think we enjoyed it.
Yeah. I know. We actually enjoyed it.
Weird. Yeah. Watching that salt up and just being like, this game's actually pretty good. As I said earlier, it's...
I fucking love tidying up these meatballs.
there's just so much going on. And you play... I only got to play one game of this in Pod Research. But, you know... it was amazing because I went home and I thought about it. I was like, man, there's so much you can do. There's so much random in this. You can make so many different choices. And to me, that's a sign of a fun game.
Yeah, exactly,
if I go home and
yeah.
I'm like, I want to play that again, like right the hell now, like where are my four peeps at? Only four peeps.
Three, surely.
Because I'm going to watch
Still dreaming of the five tribes.
But yeah.
I did the same because in your absence, we had a colleague of mine from work and drop in and play. And the following day, we're discussing it over coffee, going, this is important if you do this. Or have you considered this other stuff? And we're talking about the strategies of it. And that was when it went from, this is just something that you just sort of play along with, and it's not many of the things that you're doing aren't that vital, to the strategies going a lot deeper on this game than I initially just suspected.
Okay, I'm busting to say something.
Go.
I've done some research.
5 out of 10.
Yeah,
I really want to know where that ended up.
We were pretty close. When you were cracking the joke about Nkala sounding like Makala, Nkala, it's because...
Neighbouring suburbs.
Mankala comes from the Arabic word Nkala.
Which is deliver.
To move. To move. Well, that's what Wikipedia says.
So the name, the Jinns of Nkala, is actually self-referential again.
It is. It's
in
meta.
Terms of, oh, man.
Well,
it's
now
talking
my
about...
ratings dropped again.
I mean, I'm really a gamer's game.
Yeah, it's
well,
just
I give
such
it a
10.
You have to know some ancient Arabic history.
So yeah. I was kind of right about... that's actually the name given to a family of different types of games. So it doesn't necessarily originate in Africa, but there are Mancala style games out of Africa as well as Southeast Asia and the US and the Caribbean. So, yeah.
It's everywhere.
There you go.
Oh, while we're doing corrections, an artisan is a craftsman or workman, and an artesian well is a well sunk through impermeable strata receiving water from
Googling
an area at a higher altitude than that of the well.
Let's just Google stuff and we'll read it out.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I've got a video to show.
What did we think
let's
of this
Google,
game?
Let's Google Riley's answer. Where did you end up with this game?
I'd give it a solid 6.5, 7.
Yeah, wow.
It was fun. I would totally play it again.
It won you over like the annoying girl in class who approaches you drunk at the university party and wins you over with her startling personality outside of class.
It's clearly been a long time since you were at university. Yeah.
Things have never happened for
and you're talking about your students.
Yeah.
Aww.
That's happened more.
Right.
Hey. Ooh, university romances with Riley Evans.
It's a whole different podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. I'm not sure if I would own a copy, but I would definitely play it.
Yeah, that's where I ended up. I said, this was never going to be a game that I would like. You know, I like the spooky stuff, and really heavy, dark themed kind of thing. So it's too bright and like loving life, this game, and for me. And I said the same thing. And it's kind of like you would play it. I like to think I would play it once, and then, you know, when everyone goes, do you want to play it again? Like in XCOM, we said, definitely, let's see if we can get another game in for another night. With this, I go, no, we've played it once. What can we do next?
Let's play something else.
Yeah. But still, the next day, you're thinking about it, and you're happy to go back to it. So it's not. I don't think it's something you can just bang out loads of games back to back, but it's something you'd play every week quite happily.
It really appeals to people. There's people out there that will love the hell out of this game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can just, like, you can see the tournament wheels turning. I don't know if it's actually.
I don't know about that.
I think because there's that much strategy involved in it, it could definitely be something that's like, let's sit down and play. Who's better?
I think it's just too much for gamer's game.
No, what are you talking about?
But while we were playtesting it in this very room, there was another copy open out in the store, and they were like a riot, weren't they? They were just having a fantastic time. They were loving it. You know,
love Five Tribes, man. I love it.
And they were raising banners
they
and cheering it
there's
on.
There's five of us. We're all here. Oh, wait. Oh,
yeah. So, Matt, how did that five end looking?
That five went up. It went up to a, I'd say a 7.
Mr. Mancala.
Again,
I reckon that's
Mr.
his
Mancala
wrestling name.
Yeah.
The Mancala.
Mr. Mancala.
Where's the hessian sack?
A leopard skin onesie, and here comes Mancala.
That's to work. What are you talking about?
What's that?
He wears that to work.
Yeah. His name is Mancala.
Come on, I work with children. There's no way I'm going to be wearing the good clothes. Anything, it has to be hessian.
I was worried.
They don't want to touch
it. We're just
going
to say clothes.
No, I upgraded my view to a 7. 7's a pretty standard rating for me. I enjoyed the game. I don't think it had a lot to offer me in the terms of replayability.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones that I would take down south on a rainy yeah. know, a rainy weekend. Because you could, you know, it's a good distraction. It doesn't take too long. It's fairly easy to explain to people, to be honest. It was quite a small. I could see tournament play for this quite easy, in the same way that Carcassonne and Catan have tournament play.
I think you can walk back into this game. You know, like if we didn't play it for a month and then came back to it, I think we'd know how to play it.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty much. And I also think if you've got a game champion or someone who's going to champion the game, who's someone who's already got it that's going to teach you how to play it, it'll be very straightforward. Yeah, and you'll go, what were they talking about it being difficult? I think that's the same way. I'd be interested in what Small World would be like to learn from the start. Because I did that recently. I was taught that. You know, I sat down with someone who knew how to play it, and I thought, this is brilliant. Learn how to play it straight away. Brilliant. Yep. Playing. I wonder if it was that hard to learn?
Yeah, I struggled with Small World.
It was tricky to pick up.
Yeah, because it's a simple game, isn't it?
Yeah, but after the first game, it was fine. It's just the first playthrough. Yeah. Well, I think the first playthrough of anything is tricky.
Well, yeah. Well, come on. It's always easier if you've got someone who's played it before that just goes, do this, away we go. But I'm sure we didn't have... let's say XCOM, so of course... Looking back to that, because we all loved that, right? Matt had already played it, so you just said, this is what we need to do, and we're away.
Well, the app tells you what to do.
Well, I mean, you learn. Oh, what's what? Star Realms would be another one. We were all fairly new to that when we did that.
Yeah. So, I was worried about Star Realms for half a go, and then I was like,
and then
I'm
suddenly
away.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, very, very straightforward. I was just wondering where the Days of Thunder instructions might...
Days of Wonder instructions. Racetrack game.
There's Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman in Days of Wonder.
Formula One games.
Formula Day, yeah. Formula Day.
Yeah, I just wonder if their instructions might lend themselves to a bit of help.
It's a very vertical wall, like these. Yeah, you pick them up. They're not super wordy, you know, and you know how you just want some you want some clarity on what that actually means.
Yeah.
And some books put an index in the back, and it's like, well, we're actually talking about this. Yeah. There is nothing here.
No, yeah.
But what we do say is we love a gamer card, and it has those.
Yeah, it definitely has those.
And that is very good.
With the gin explanations on the back and stuff. And yeah, it's just, I think it's been unfortunate that you have to constantly, because that's what we're doing. We'll look at the game card, and it's like, all right, well, it says this. Pick up the instructions, read the four pages in there. Okay, it's a bit more clearer now. But, yeah, I know that you can't put all of it onto the one game turn card. But, you know,
it should be easier to find in the manual.
Yeah, I guess what we're all trying to say is that learning it wasn't easy, but once you did, it was well worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This is like a game that, you know, if you got a family of four and you just wanted something quick and you all knew how to play it, you could set this up in a snap, clean it up because that's the act of the game. And then, you know...
The game cards are good... As a strategy thing, though, as well, because if you leant over the table and grabbed the gins off the upturned ones and read through them, and you'd be giving tells as to which one you're thinking about getting, and then someone else is going to try and block it. But on that game card, it's got the definition of them all, so you can have a cheeky look across the table, see what's there.
The card tells you what they do. Because some of the gin cards don't actually tell you anything. I mean, they give you some markers on them, but you'd never know what they do.
But I think that increases the speed of the game later once you've got used to the game. Yeah. So
amazing artwork on the genies.
Yeah, they're lovely. Yeah,
they're stunning.
There's something you really liked about the manual, wasn't there, Matt? I can't remember what you said it was. There was something you said that it had that most manuals don't.
Something that I had that most manuals don't.
Well, you're making him remember.
Yeah, that's it. Was it played through examples? Because there are some examples of things you can do.
It's a relatively small manual. It's only six pages, I think, and it's very clear. It's full color. It's got lots of examples, but I don't think it caters for every situation. I mean, you can't cater for every situation.
Rarely they do.
But you compare Agricola. The manual for Agricola.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
It's a tome, and it has an index where the writing... We talked about this on the podcast, where the writing gets smaller and smaller and smaller, just because they forgot to put all this shit in. But,
oh, boy.
I felt there's a bit lacking in explanation.
Yeah, I was going to say, for the depths that I think they're trying to reach with this game, the manual is awfully light.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say that.
Yeah, and for an integral part of any board game, what's the first thing you do when you rip it out of the box? You know, like, yeah. Where's the manual at? You know, yeah.
Smell it.
How do I actually play it?
Yeah, so what do we do here?
Yeah.
So maybe that's something that you could tune up, or you just ignore it and find someone who's played the game before.
Yeah,
and
watch a bit of it on YouTube, yeah, or something. Learn it from that. Or maybe you learn a bit about it from listening to this.
Maybe. You never
maybe know. Enough.
We don't have to learning.
But, uh-huh. But the theme itself is... It's very slapped on.
Yeah.
I think you could easily
remove... It could
have
been anything, couldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you could easily remove the theme and replace it with something else.
Space camels.
But then that's the same with most games, isn't it? You could do that with Star Realms, you know? You could change that around.
You can, but I don't think it's
fantasy. You could do
but mechanics...
But I don't think Star Realms relies as much on the theme so much as this game does. Like, it's all
like,
very...
I think, you know, as much as I dislike this world and this theme, like I mentioned before... I think it all works really well with the mechanics, you know? It's cool
it does.
That you take
I'm saying it doesn't work with it. It works well with the mechanic, but Five Tribes could be anything else. It could be any other setting. It could be any other theme.
So, listener, if you're handy at whittling, we'll get to work on some new meeples, some new tents or spaceships or something.
No,
you just spray paint the board.
just rewrite the manual and print onto the tiles and you're done. That's it.
Five planets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Five space tribes. Yeah.
All right, have we exhausted this? So it won us over, so it's worth getting and looking at and giving it some... You've got to commit some time to it, and it'll be well worth it.
It's certainly worth getting one of your friends to buy.
Yeah, have a mate that's got
get
it.
Get a mate.
Yeah. And both
step one.
Convince your mate to buy it.
Yeah. So two is fine. Two
good games. Our sponsor has open copies at Rockingham and Cannington, so you can go and play it there.
Oh, we're in Cannington
this very
now.
Copy that we're looking at right now, you could be playing.
You could find the Jesus Pizzle.
Yes,
you can
it's
find
the
that.
Orange one. Yeah. Oh, looks like a squash spider. All right,
the Jesus.
That could be our end of our secret code word. Jesus Pizzle.
Jesus Pizzle.
Oh, there we have it. Yeah, stick with it. You can get a. Deal. Is that what we're calling it? I don't know. We'll give more on that in Neats and Twos. But after this, Matt's Quiz.
Matt's Quiz.
Sounds like Matt's Quiz.
Matt's
everyone's turned off. Matt's quiz.
I'm up for it. Let's go.
Oh, shit. We've got a mathematician.
For those new to the podcast, Matt's Quiz is a weekly segment where Matt has gone
home. It's
weekly
whenever Matt's on.
Yeah, true.
Weekly.
Matt's gone home and worked tirelessly to get us a bunch of questions.
If you knew the amount of effort I put into this, I've done it on pages. No, not pages. I've done it on like Keynote. So each question has its own page and its own banner. And
so appreciate it.
Yeah,
I put
effort in.
Having said that, this week's call is going to be
a friggin' Photoshop, not Photoshop presentation, a PowerPoint presentation.
I'll bring my projector next time and have it on the wall.
I'm already sick of it. I'm going to rebel. No, I'm not.
You wouldn't dare.
Over to Matt in the quiz room. He's got his tuxedo on. It's looking good.
Quizmaster.
You've been working out, Matt.
Wonky bow tie.
Do you want to know what this one's called?
Yeah,
I'd love to know what this one's called.
Please, sir, I've got sand in my jockstrap quiz.
Was it really?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, that's what I put on the...
Yeah, I know. I took and ran with it.
Oh, okay.
So it's a Five Tribes quiz, loosely based on an Arabian theme, and even more loosely based on the Bruno Cathala board game.
Oh, boy.
Which we've reviewed.
Is this the first question?
Do you hear a question?
I have an answer.
No, that's
the first
not a question. Okay, question.
PSIGSIMJSQ.
Good documentation there, Justin.
You get it done.
You scored points there.
Jesus on a token.
Funny thing, we're talking about maths. Five Tribes. Question number one. Five Tribes. 40 Thieves. Ocean's 11. How many friends were there?
40 Thieves. I don't even understand the question. 40 Thieves.
How Oceans. Many friends?
Five Tribes. 40 Thieves. Ocean's 11. How many friends were there?
Okay,
so.
That's a tricky one.
It is a tricky one.
Well done.
See
the cogs turn on Dave.
Yeah, and... this is. I just realised I'm making all these thinking noises and it's a podcast. It's not going to listen to that again.
Question number two.
Yeah.
Scheherazade is the storyteller who successfully prevented her own execution at the order of the Persian king Shahar Shahara. She reputedly told 1,000 stories to the king. How many nights did it take her to finish 1,000 stories? By which time the king fell in love with her and decided to marry her rather than kill her.
He just wanted to shut her up, I guess. And he's like, no more of these stories.
Let me marry you. So how many stories did she tell?
Well, you said that it was 1,000. How many nights did it take?
She's told 1,000 stories to the king.
Yeah.
Over how many nights did she tell those 1,000 stories?
What was the first word in the question?
Shahrazad.
You mean the level 3 evolution from the original 151 Pokemon? Straight up
to Charmeleon. Knowledge.
What number was
Charizard?
That? Number nine?
Yeah.
Riley. We've got to come up with some knowledge. Because these guys are bombing in knowledge.
Already, I've already said that someone owns the Happy Birthday song. That's why restaurants and stuff have their own...
Knowledge would be if you banged out a name and said, this person owns the Happy Birthday song.
It's not owned by any one person.
Okay. Question three. Which popular electronic game series was based on the Arabian Nights mythology? And as a bonus question, which actor played this character in the movie adaptation? All right, so there's a two-part question. Which popular electronic game series was based on the Arabian Nights mythology? And which actor played this character in the movie adaptation?
I'm at a massive disadvantage. I did say earlier on that I have no love for this sort of theme and stuff. From a kid, I never
really did. But imagine your scores would be similar, David.
Camels confuse me. They're like lumpy donkeys, you know? Like, why didn't you just have a donkey? It's like, no, this one's a lumpy one called a camel.
Okay. That sounds like a show note there. Lumpy donkey.
Yeah. Lumpy donkeys.
So there we go. You would know the game. You would know the game I'm talking about.
Right.
Question four. In which Stephen King novel...
Now you're talking.
...does the protagonist share commonalities with the story of Shahrazad?
That's 1,000 stories, Chick.
Yep. In which Stephen King novel does the protagonist share commonalities with the story of Shahrazad?
I know what it is, but I don't know Stephen King. Don't know the names of the books.
Yeah.
So which Stephen King novel?
Which Stephen King novel? So I'm good with. It's the Shahrazad bit. Got really no...
Well, think about what she did.
She told a lot of stories to a guy. And made him fall in love with her.
Question five.
Is that a clue to the cover of the...
Oh, shit. Riley's got a knowing glance, a knowing look.
Yes.
Oh, maybe it's an unknowing.
That's what you want to call it.
Yeah. Question five. Name the Dungeons & Dragons campaign setting inspired by the Arabian Nights theme.
Jeez, Matt.
Ding, 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 ding.
He's gone deep
ding.
On this one, hasn't he?
See, I'm a gamer's game.
Yeah.
It's more of a gamer's game.
I found this one quite challenging to come up with questions for, actually.
Name any Dungeons & Dragons campaign.
All their settings were inspired by stories and things, you know.
Yeah. Doubt it.
This one was inspired by the Arabian Nights theme. Okay.
Did you just give away the answer then?
No.
Oh. Oh, because it's called something.
Something else. It's called something else.
All right.
One of those ones. Six. You either know it or you don't. All right. Yeah. Question six. Now, this is the one where, sorry guys, Riley's probably going to kick everyone's ass.
A monkey movie.
Within the first Magic the Gathering expansion set, Arabian Nights, a card called Shahrazad was banned.
That's that word again.
From tournament play because of its effect.
Do you want to know what it does?
What was the effect?
Sweet.
What was the effect? Yeah. All right. I've got the exact answer. So if you come even close, I'll give you some points.
Aww,
a point. Maybe.
Yeah.
But if the person that gets it, I'll give double points.
Why? You've already said Matt's going to know. I mean, Riley's going to know.
Next question, sponsored by Audi.
Yeah.
Q7.
Hang on. Yeah.
That'd be sweet. We start dropping things like that in there. Audi, who are obviously listening, go, might as well give these guys cars because they're going to mention it every time.
And just to stir it up a bit, the Volkswagen Golf.
What a piece of crap. I'd rather be driving an Audi.
So the first Magic set, expansion set, was Arabian Nights. The card Shahrazad was banned from tournament play because of its effect. What was the effect? Okay, that's question six. All right. So come up. Oh, you know what? A point will go to the person that gets it correct. 2 points will go to the person that comes up with the best effect. The creative, most creative.
What?
I don't know. I'm making shit up.
Is that what you want us to do?
No, no. You know the answer, I'm sure. All right, question 7.
Q7, brought to you by Audi.
This one's called Hot Arabian One-Liners.
Oh, right.
My token pop culture references.
All right, I better...
So this is paper. This is a 7-part.
Why not 5 parts? Come on, man, get it on.
It's going so keep well. So
keep on thinking.
This is where you make up your points. All right.
Yeah, here we go.
All right.
If Shahada Zahra is mentioned in this, I'm gone. I'm tools down. I'm out.
You're safe.
Right.
Okay. Hot Arabian one-liners. A. He was a high seas sailor. What movie? These are all movie references.
Yeah, these
is that a,
what?
Yeah. It was a high
book, really, isn't it?
I mean, this is something that was said in
pop culture references.
Then. So the way I see these questions is that they're alternative taglines to films of a certain.
It's like the one we did. The ones we have done previously. Yeah, that's exactly the same.
It's great. Everyone in the room's explaining it to me. The only person here is confused, and everyone's at home like, "Yeah, he was a high sea sailor, dude.
He's a high sea sailor." High Seas Sailor. And, you know, I've taken... They're all movie titles, okay? They're all movie titles.
Right.
Are the answers.
Oh.
Right. B.
And it's all related... Hang on. It's all related to, like, Arabian Nights
stuff.
He's
stalling.
Yeah, of course.
Loosely.
Yeah.
He's stalling. He's fine.
I said that at the beginning.
Part B.
Okay, part B. Big, blue, and stuck in a lamp.
You want the title?
The movie. Yeah, the movie title. That's what we've gone for.
I've put this answer down for just about everything so far.
Oh, no.
It's the only thing that I know.
Okay. C. A Welshman in bed with the Arabs.
A Welshman in bed with the Arabs?
In Bedouin the Arabs.
In Bedouin?
In Bedouin the Arabs. All right.
Is that even a word?
Yeah, okay. It was a play on words. Yeah, in bed with. A Welshman in bed with the Arabs.
It's a good book.
Carry on, Baghdad. Oh.
Carry on, Baghdad.
What are you saying? Did you said it's a good book to, like, 3 of these?
Well, the first one.
Oh, Riley's got this nailed, hasn't he?
I don't think so.
He's a Persian fanatic.
They're pretty good in some games.
D is a direct quote. Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Oh, yeah. Finally, I've got one right. I say to myself before finding
you've got it wrong.
Do you want the specific film?
Yep. Which one? The specific film.
Right.
I don't need to know who said it.
You and me, listener,
Riley,
together.
You blew that for me, man, because I don't know what it is.
we got it right.
Okay. E. They have really great worms.
Oh shit! They're really great worms.
It's a good one. Oh,
thanks.
He's doing the... Yeah.
I'm just psyching you out.
You are psyching
me out. I don't know
anything. He's playing the game.
I'm just writing down random letters.
Right. 2 more to go. F, a treasure ship hidden in the deserts of Africa.
A desert ship hidden?
A treasure ship hidden in the deserts of Africa.
I don't want to read out aloud any of my answers. I'm ashamed of everything.
This means it's going to be good.
There's a treasure ship in a desert somewhere.
Ship hidden in the deserts of Africa.
Treasure ship.
Another one of those. I know what it is. I think. Don't know what it is.
I did say loosely based.
I think I've also read that.
It's not a book. I don't think.
Everything was a book. Once. If you call the script a book.
Yeah. That's right.
True.
I've probably got that one wrong.
All right. And last one, G.
Really looking forward to Neats and Twos.
This is another quote. This is another quote.
Yeah.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for I am the baddest motherfucker in this goddamn valley.
Hang on a minute.
It's a direct quote.
What's that got to do with Arabian Nights? Oh, well.
I'd say loosely.
That's in the Bible. There was some desert in there.
Okay. Oh, that's a good idea. The Bible.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for I am the baddest motherfucker in the goddamn valley.
All right. Well, you just earned our explicit tag for this week, so there you go.
Two of
them. Are we done?
Don't we have to have that? Isn't it like we're contractually obliged to
no.
get the tag?
No, really.
Only by Audi.
Yeah. What's Andy Audi?
A brand new sponsor. Because they gave us 2 cents.
If we keep saying it.
Yeah.
What's next?
All right.
Is there an eight?
No, that's it. Oh. No, 7 questions, 7 line ahead.
Right. Oh, well, he's just loving it.
I do take liberties when there's 7 parts to the last question. Okay.
That was an amazing PSIGSIMJSQ.
Best one so far.
Yeah,
right, nice. Let's see, I wonder how everyone did at home. Question one.
Yeah, please write in and tell us.
5 tribes, 40 thieves, Ocean's 11. How many friends were there?
7. I said 7.
7?
Because it rhymes. And that's a rhyme.
All right, David. Yeah, listen carefully.
That was Justin, by the way.
Listen carefully. My answer is 5, right? And the names were Joey, Rachel, Monica, Ross and Chandler.
Oh, that's what I did. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what I did.
Okay, your answer was 5.
I think I said 6.
What? Okay.
I said 6.
The Joey answer was 6.
Yeah. Rachel, I forgot Phoebe.
You did, yeah. Rachel, Joey, Chandler, yeah. Phoebe, Ross, Monica.
Woo!
Yeah. I'd have
and
not
that question came
Friends.
About because I was watching Friends on TV last night.
Can I have that because I said Phoebe before you got the answer?
No.
I'm not going to get it.
Shit. I got it.
I should have known. So there's 3 boys, 3 girls.
I had to list them out.
I'm impressed that you got the reference because I thought.
Yeah,
I would
and I don't get any points for it, though, do I?
I reckon I should get it because she had a bike.
Question 2. So Scheherazade was a storyteller who told 1,000 stories to the king before to help her fall in love with her, basically to save her own neck. So how many stories did she tell?
How many nights?
I confused myself. So how many nights did it take her to tell 1,000 stories?
1,001.
1,001 Arabian 1001. Nights.
I said 1,000 because it's all...
Because she's efficient and the last night they were getting married.
Yeah. So what happened? The story was she told half a story every night and then continued it the next day because the king wanted to hear the rest of the story.
Right.
So he had to go over by one day.
Yep.
Scrub.
1,001.
1,001 Arabian Nights.
Correct.
1,000. Oh, you got a point. Yeah. So that means.
Well, the answer was just 1,001.
That's nearly 3
just
years.
Whether it's Arabian Nights, I guess, is irrelevant.
3 years. Just someone is yammer on about a story. And, oh,
I'm actually interested in this Q3.
Question 3. Which popular electronic game series based on the Arabian Nights mythology and which actor, for a bonus point, played the movie adaptation?
Prince of Persia.
Prince of Persia? What do you say,
got
David?
Robin Williams.
Okay, but what movie?
Aladdin.
Justin?
I didn't know this. I read Dune and then some dude.
It's
got to be Prince of Persia.
Prince of Persia. And it was...
I put Matt Damon. He's an actor, isn't he? We put Robin Williams.
You already said
I don't know who played that guy.
It was Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh,
never met
it?
Him.
Someone else.
He's
know.
Turned into a tank. Have you seen the movie Southpaw? The photo of him? There's a movie coming out called Southpaw.
That's about a boxer?
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that the Rocky prequel?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Or sequel?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Prequel,
it's called Southpaw. It's got Jake Gyllenhaal in it. All and right. If you remember him from any kind of other thing where he's just being Jake, you see the...
Your first name terms.
The images of him now, and he's just turned into just some manic tank.
Yeah.
He's amazing looking. It's scary.
A celebrity watch brought to you by Audi.
Yeah, he's a bit of a... Yeah, psycho, isn't he? Question 4. Which Stephen King novel does the protagonist share commonalities with the story of Scheherazade? David?
Carrie?
Justin?
So, is that the one where the chick breaks his leg?
No, that's the one.
No, that's Misery.
Okay.
Is that the face you were doing? Was Misery face?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
It's the long one because it's got 1,000, it's got 1,000 stories in it.
All right. Justin? What was your answer?
Misery. I didn't know the title, but
but what was your answer?
Blank, because I didn't know the title, but I knew what it was.
Oh, I can't give him a point if he didn't write it down.
Because I totally knew it.
He did say it was the one with the chick and the broken... Which is Misery. Yeah, it was Misery.
What's that got to do with it?
The protagonist, the author, referenced...
Kathy Bates.
During the novel, Scheherazade as in likening himself because he was forced to write the story for his deranged fan so that she wouldn't kill,
kill him. Right.
Yeah.
No, I can see it when you put it like that. Yeah. So Carrie's not correct.
So my brain, my title won't.
Never read a Stephen King book.
Right.
Oh, well, that's your downfall then. All right, question 5.
I don't think anyone got this.
Try me. What have we got?
All right, Prince of Thieves.
Nope.
I think I've put Dragon Knights.
Nope. Justin.
I just invented it.
Okay. But Golden Lamp.
All right, you could have come close. Okay, it's called Al-Qadim.
Yeah. That was my second choice. I was tossed up between that and Prince of Thieves.
That
so.
Shows my RPG heritage.
Yeah, it does.
All right, question six.
Oh.
All right, I'm gonna go this way right. to Justin first. So which within the first Magic the Gathering expansion set, Arabian Nights, a card called Shahrazad was banned from tournament play because of its effect. What was the effect?
Seismic Toss.
Seismic Toss.
Made by Shahrazad at level.
I vote for 42. Justin's answer. I had three word answer. The second two words were you, comma Matt. I don't have an answer.
Neither.
Okay, right.
So for two white mana.
Oh my god.
You set aside all cards in play, and you start a second game with your remaining library.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. And then the loser of that game loses half their life total rounded down, I think.
Yeah.
And then you go back to the first game and continue playing that, leaving aside all cards that were involved in the little subgame.
Yeah. Wow, that's intense.
No, you actually...
Like many things in wrong. Arabian
yeah,
Nights.
So when played, both players immediately require to start the sub-game alongside the original, utilising the same library, meaning that potentially under the four-copy card system restriction, you could end up playing a game within a game within a game within a game.
Yeah.
The player that lost the sub-game had their life total reduced by half, and both players then shuffled the cards using the sub-game back into their libraries and then continued on with the main
game.
How big
was this card? It was like the size of a doormat.
I've got the exact text, if you like.
No.
It was, very wordy.
It was a compelling list in the
It was banned because it was just...
There were some decks that used it. You just keep playing sub-games and just kill them. It was
just
ridiculous.
Just scoop.
Yeah, that's what most people did.
As soon as you know they're playing the card,
forever. Just forget
that. It sounds like something that would belong in Unhinged or...
does, but it didn't, unfortunately.
What was the name of the card?
Shahrazad.
Charizard.
Number seven, here we go. Hot Arabian one-liners.
Sweet. Oh,
he was a high sea sailor. Justin.
Under siege.
I put Tintin. Oh, he's Belgian.
Sinbad.
That was the answer.
Sinbad, what? Yes.
I hope Riley's keeping score. You keeping score?
I'm keeping my score. Riley's already won, man.
Yeah, Riley's just won.
This is a good week for me.
B. Big blue and stuck in a lamp. Justin.
Aladdin.
Aladdin?
Aladdin.
Hey.
Hey, you got one.
Aladdin in a lamp. C. A Welshman in bed with the Arabs was Justin.
Pass.
Lawrence of Arabia.
Yep.
Or is it the Pillars of Wisdom is the book, isn't it? Six Pillars of Wisdom?
Oh, well, I did specifically talk about the movie.
You did.
Riley's brought knowledge.
It's my turn to be knowledgeable.
Okay.
Yeah. D.
My moment will come.
Yeah.
Well, direct quote.
You got Neeson to his left.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes? Riley?
It's Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom.
Raiders of the Lost Ark when he climbs into the plane.
Justin?
I wrote Snakes on a Plane.
Justin's answer best.
It was Raiders of the Lost Ark, but not because of when he gets on the plane.
No, that's where you get introduced to the idea that he's...
It's when he's in the room with the snakes. Yeah, that's right.
Because when he gets into the plane, that's when they set up the fact that he doesn't
like
snakes.
They're looking down into where the Ark is supposedly located. And they're looking at the floor and it starts slithering and turns back over and he goes, snakes. Why did it have to be snakes? All right. E. They have really great worms. David?
Tremors?
Dude, I totally wrote Tremors as well.
Did you?
June.
It's June.
No. Same worms.
Tremors is a great answer. Hmm. All right. F, a treasure ship hidden in the deserts of Africa was, Justin...
It's got Matt McConaughey in it. I don't know what it's called.
It has got Matt McConaughey in it.
I put the Bible after Justin said the Bible.
Sahara.
Is that Justin Sahara?
And
I almost said that when we were going, is it a treasure ship in the Sahara? I almost said that. You know?
The last one. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for I am the baddest motherfucker in the goddamn valley.
He loves...
Who said it?
Samuel?
No.
He didn't say that, but it has motherfucker
in it. Sounds so much like him.
I just put Pulp Fiction
down.
That's
why
I chose Pulp Fiction. What's it in?
Jarhead.
Oh.
It was the sergeant. Back to
Jake Gyllenhaal again.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Jet.
All right, and that's a quiz.
All right.
Nice.
Cool.
Well, hope you guys had fun.
It's time for Neeson
Toys.
It could have been anyone.
Find out.
I got 9. If I only got 1 point for the Shahrazad thing, I got 9 points.
I've already shredded mine.
Yeah, me too. I think I scored about -2.
So the winner was entertainment.
Where's Riley?
We're all winners.
All right, Neats and Twos, you listen to this. You get a deal on Five Tribes. We'll get into that in a second.
Deal.
Neats and Twos.
Neats and Twos.
All right, Neats and Twos this week. We're jumping straight into Matt with Fantasy Flight Games Apocalypse RPG. What's happening with that?
The apocalypse is coming.
Ah, the apocalypse.
Yeah. The I had the chance to run it myself with another group the other week, and it went over so well that I'm really confident about running it for you guys.
Awesome. Sure.
Over the airwaves. It's a brilliant. It's a nice, easy system, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So, yeah.
And including all the names of everyone who's liked it.
Yes, I've got everybody. So everyone in those first 200 likers have gone into the big bubble of NPCs and zombies to be drawn out and used as they come up for whatever situation.
Store names, I've NPCs, rogues.
I also announced the title. So the scenario we're playing is called Night of the Meteor.
Oh, how do you spell meteor?
M-E-A-T. Night of the Meteor. Night of the Meteor, as in the thing crashing in the sky.
Okay.
So that's the name of it. And it'll be happening. We're trying to get that done in May. So we won't do a board game next. We're going to do the fantasy. We're doing the apocalypse and then back into a board game.
Okay.
So we'll announce the next board game during the apocalypse.
Okay. We don't know what we're doing yet.
Depending on whether or not the apocalypse, you know, ends the world, it could all end there and then we won't have to do another one. Is that on the bucket list? Apocalypse?
Apocalypse?
Yeah, if the apocalypse happens.
No. What, on the Seven Line Hand? Yeah, yeah. No. I think all we've got is Raymond Swanland's got to get in touch and, Kate's got to drop in.
Yeah, fair enough. One of those is likely to happen. All right. So that's
Come on
it.
Down,
so, yeah.
Kate.
One of those zombies.
Just like to say, Kate, if you're listening, love you very much.
I've actually put her into, not that she's liked us or anything, but I've put her name into the bowl.
Which Kate is this?
Surprising.
Beckinsale.
Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, okay.
Which Kate?
It's only
I was only joking.
All right, so yeah, that's that. So,
so we're looking forward to that.
Yeah,
that'll
be great. That'll
be so cool.
It will probably be a two-parter again.
The amount of time will split it, so you're not downloading the one part of it forever.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, and because it's Game of the Month special at Good Games, so you're getting Five Tribes. If you go to Good Games Cannington or Rockingham and say the password, and we decided on today's password being
Lumpy Donkey.
Lumpy Donkey.
You get Five Tribes and then 5% off an accompanying purchase. So you walk up there with Five Tribes and something else, and you get 5% off the something else. So there you go. Just making it into Neats and Twos, 5% discount. All right.
Sounds good.
Next fortnight, we can back with Seven Land Hand Extra, the Magic Focus podcast. We'll be busting boosters, leveling up with knowledge. And boy, didn't we level up with knowledge today, except from me. And remembering that time, you know that one. If you don't remember the time, then tune in a fortnight and find out all about it.
That time was sweet.
Yeah, time. Loved it.
It was a good time. Timing it up.
All right. All we've got left is Matt's outro.
I'd like to thank my colleagues in arms, Justin and Riley, for playing games with me most Thursday nights and scrutinising all of my I's and T's when it comes to my banking practices. David, for making sure the magic happens and then making it magically appear in my podcast list like some kind of bizarre tooth fairy.
I have to sneak in the middle of the night and tuck it under his pillow.
Good Games Cannington and Rockingham.
Tucking under his pillow?
Hey, I'm thanking people here. Good Games Cannington and Rockingham and Dave for keeping the lights on and the shelf stock with ways to part me from my money.
And 5% off your accompanying purchase with Five Tribes.
That's it.
Lumpy Donkey.
And Audi. We thank Audi.
Yeah, thanks, Audi.
And as always, to you, the listener, whom without all this would just seem like four dudes talking about board games and stuff to each other around the table.
The microphones couldn't even be here.
That's right. So, let me pitch to you the latest Five Tribes expansion yet unreleased. It introduces a seventh tribe into the game, the Seven Land Bandits.
Ooh, yeah. I like these guys. Mm-hmm.
Whose role is to get dropped off at tiles owned by your opponent's camel and steal something from their supply. Money, goods, genies, slaves.
I think they steal the camel.
And deliver it back to you. The catch If a seven-land bandit is dropped off the same tile as an elder, they cannot steal anything as they are forced to listen to that elder's stories of wearing onions on their belt and catching a camel.
For 1,001 nights.
Catching a camel across the desert because llamas are too temperamentally unstable, which led to saddle strain because of the lack of suitable restroom facilities, owing to an absence of plumbing which was invented by the Romans or Greeks or someone. And where was I going with this?
There's no comma in there.
Stick it together with pee.
I'm in a comma.
Good night and good luck.
Peace.
See you around.